back in the big old cheesy, the ham and the easy, the big easy, the ham and cheesy. What do you call it?
We're in Boston, so we're back in
the we're back in Boston. We're no longer in Africa. The last episode we recorded was about Chitabi, but we were still in Botswana. So now we figured we would record an episode about Vumbura, because the last camp that we went to was Vumbura Plains, and it's one of our absolute favorites.
Yeah, could not be skipped. We couldn't pass over this one because we had some pretty excellent sightings once again.
Yeah, we sure did. We just watched we compiled like a trip video of the different things that we saw, and we'll send it through to our guests. And
we're buzzing from it.
Yeah, we just watched it to kind of jog our memories, and yeah, it's nice. There was some good stuff there.
Yeah.
So I think without further ado, we should just jump right on.
So we left Chitabi, which is where you want to say kind of where.
Yeah,
where
it's they are. Yeah. Chitabi's more to the southern part of the delta. It's kind of bordering Moremi.
Also, just a side note here, it must be said, an ongoing joke or theme throughout this trip was how much Jomi loves maps and geography and showing people where we're going on maps and where we are on maps. So yeah, it's a bit of a hidden talent of yours, I suppose.
It's not a hidden talent. I literally use my hand. I turn my hand upside down and I say, okay, imagine that this is the delta, and then I like my fingers are the different channels of the delta. Like, it doesn't make that much sense.
It's a child's explanation.
Yeah, but it works. You know, you can always give it.
You've always got your delta map.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, sorry. So Chitabi is kind of on the hand map. Where would you put it?
Like at the bottom of the middle finger or ring finger.
Mm. And Vumbura is like.
And yeah, Vumbura is kind of. Yeah, up towards the.
we're looking at our hands the opposite direction.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to translate well to a podcast. Anyway, it's on the northeastern part of the delta. And so straight kind of north from Chitabi. And yeah, we arrived after having had as you can hopefully decide for yourselves, a fantastic time at Chitabi. And you know, we were thinking, like Hadley and I are thinking, well, the sightings, you know, they can't really compare to what we've seen at Tubu and Chitabi.
Yeah.
And this is going to be more the place to relax a bit and to,
do a massage, enjoy the boat, relax on the water,
enjoy the nice rooms. The rooms at Vumbura are just, they're massive, and it's just a good place to relax. There's nice water in front of the camp.
I think just while we're on the camp, one of my favorite things about Vumbura's rooms and the camp in general is that, especially if you're there when it's, you know, a little bit warmer, the rooms feel at least completely open. So it's kind of a square room, but the walls are...
It's just mesh, really, isn't it? Like tent mesh.
Yeah, like screen, basically, like a mosquito screen that you would have at, like, your house in the U.S.
Do people have that here?
Yeah, like in the windows.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like the window we're next to.
Yeah. They sure do.
But so when you're in the room and you're looking out, like it feels like you're completely outside and the wind is coming through. And while we were there, wasn't that while we were there? We were recording about Chitabi.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had elephants that came around the room and were right in front of us, and there's plunge pools in front of the room. It's such a like immersive experience. You really, really feel like you're in the bush and part of the bush. Similar in terms of how we describe Tubu tree, but Tubu you're lofted and you're up and it feels more like you're in the tree canopy. Vumbura, you're more down on the water level and it's a nice experience.
Good place to be.
Yeah.
So we arrived and our guide was Willie, who has been our guide in the past in Vumbura. If you have listened to previous episodes about Vumbura, then you will know that we adore Willie for his phenomenal bush knowledge and skill, his local knowledge of what's going on at any given time with the lion populations and dynamics. Yeah. And he loves the gossip of the lions, that's for sure.
Gosh, that's going to have to be next episode, actually. It's like a recap of what's going on with the lion dynamics.
You can do that because I can't remember. It's like an episode of Days of Our Lives or something. Yeah, it's just... anyway, so we picked up Willie, or Willie picked us up, I should say, from the airstrip. And kind of the first thing that we do when we meet a guide, or especially if it's a guide that we know already, is we chat about what, you know, what have they been seeing, how are the water levels,
what's changed since we were last there.
Yeah, and the water levels are, you know, they're higher at Vumbra than they were at Chitabi, and higher at Vumbra than they were at Tubutri. And yeah, what's changed with the lions and the dogs and the leopards, and that's, it's really a nice thing for Hadley and I returning to these camps through the years, is to really like get a feel for what's happening.
Like, you're seeing lions that you've seen before, like the dominant male lion at, I think we spoke about this, like the dominant male lions at Chitabi we had seen previously at Karokwe. See the distance that they're covering and that they're still dominant and still having cubs, I mean, it was, or siren cubs, is just amazing.
Old Limpy Mc, what was his name?
No, Tripod.
Tripod, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's really fun, and like to see leopard that are the offspring of leopard that we saw the last time. It's just a really fun part of coming back to areas that you've been before.
Yeah, so we go out on our first afternoon game drive, and Willie says, no, there's these three male lions, this coalition of three males that has been seen. They had not been seen for several days previously, and they traverse a massive area. So Willie suggested we go and see if we can have a look at them, because they might disappear overnight, and then we might not see them again
next few days. As much as we had not yet seen male lions during the day. We'd only seen them at night. So we were kind of hoping, all right, let's try and see male lions during the day now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, not really ticking the boxes, but
trying to think of new things to see.
Yeah, figuring out new things to see, because we'd seen so much already.
Yeah.
So we drove to where they were, and they were flat in this very tall grass, and you could barely see them. And what we decided, you know, we made this decision to just say, okay, well, let's just leave them, because it's very hot.
And they were stuffed.
They were stuffed, completely full, so like they had
a
kill nearby.
They were not moving.
Yeah, they had a kill close by. They weren't moving. I think that the chances that they were going to get up and feed then, while it was still reasonably warm, were low. So we decided to go for a little drink stop, sundowner, which we did nearby, not too near, but you know, like a 5-minute drive down the road kind of thing. And then when it started to cool down, it was an early sundowner, so the sun hadn't fully set. We decided let's go back and see, because maybe now they're getting up and feeding again. It's very typical for lions and most predators in Africa, I would say, to do the majority of their feeding at night. That's not to say at all that they don't feed during the day. They definitely feed during the day, but they would do the majority of their feeding at night, just because it's cooler and it uses up less energy.
Mm. It's also gotta be more comfortable than
being
absolutely stuffed and still gorging yourself, baking in the sun.
No, definitely. As we get to where these lions were, and we notice, oh, there's only two here rather than three, because there were three before and we'd seen all three flat in the grass, but now there were two. So Willie had actually, as we left the sighting beforehand, he'd done a quick loop and found where the kill was, which happened to be a buffalo kill, which is always really kind of an impressive sight in itself, because a buffalo is a big animal, and to see one, you know, dead, a carcass on the ground, that's
beside a lion, it's still much bigger.
Yeah, and so now when we came back,
beside a huge male,
there was a big male lion that was next to it, actually was strolling right up to it and had started just feeding on it. He was feeding on it. He wasn't strolling up to it. He was feeding on it when we just got there. And it was quite gruesome, you know, because again, like Hadley said, the buffaloes are big. Yeah, it was definitely cool. I agree. I would say that the majority of people on our vehicle thought it was very, very gruesome.
Yeah, that's fair.
And there's a lot of noise, you know, they show their strength. Their claws are out holding onto this buffalo, kind of making
so
sure
cool.
It's in the right position. And
it's tough. It's like you'd think that having teeth the size that lions do, that it would be easy to tear apart flesh like that. It's not. Like, the skin is tough, the meat is tough. Like, it's all, there's a lot of chomping and chewing. And
yeah. The smell was not bad yet.
No.
I think that there was a bit of a placebo effect as to what people thought they smelled, a very bad smell, but there was not a bad smell yet. This was a pretty fresh kill. It had only been made that same day.
It's not like been rotting in the sun for 3 days.
No, and it was underneath a bush, so like there was no sun baking down on it, and there had not been that much, they hadn't fed on it that much. They'd probably all fed on it once when they killed it initially, and then they waited until the, you know, it got slightly cooler to feed on it. Anyway, a second lion appeared kind of from where the others were, and also joined its brother, most likely brother.
No, brother.
They're all three brothers,
yeah,
aren't
yeah.
they? Yeah.
It was four brothers.
It was four, yeah.
We'll talk about that next
more
episode.
More about this on the next yeah. episode of Days of Our Lives.
Yeah.
Days of Our Lions.
I was just going to say
yeah.
that.
Anyway, so then the two males, these two of these brothers, started feeding next to each other, and we'd watched the one male for probably 15 minutes or so. He got up and kind of let the other one feed.
Yeah, he gave him a few little.
There was a little bit of
whisker raises.
Yeah, exactly. There was a little bit of growling between the
Wait,
two, but
your turn.
Very little.
Yeah.
And often there's more.
No, like actual squabble.
No, and I think because it's such a big prey item, right? It's such a big thing. They know they.
Plus, they're stuffed.
Yeah, they were stuffed as well. They know that they're all gonna get enough
they're
food
not hungry.
For the next few days. We, at that point, though, decided it was also starting to get dark, so we decided we're leaving it, we're heading back to camp. And that was the first afternoon at Vumbura. Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah.
The next day, what did we have the next day?
Well, we went out looking for, there's a camp female who had a leopard who had a cub. So we went out looking for this female whose territory includes where the camp is.
Yeah.
We went out looking for her, and we did some tracking around, or we looked around a few of the islands nearby.
Yeah.
Didn't have any luck, but then we picked up tracks of
lions.
Lioness.
Yeah.
Was it both of them?
Two lionesses.
Yeah, it was. So we kind of went into the area where we thought those lionesses would be, and then Sharp Eyes over here spotted
oh.
a cheetah.
there was a cheetah on a termite mound. It was pretty easy to spot. But yeah, they don't see cheetah there a lot. It's kind of in the delta. You know, you don't see cheetah a lot other than at Chitabi, which is just the landscape is better, the habitat is better for them. But at Vumbura, it's not necessarily as common to see. And yeah, we saw this male cheetah. He was just relaxing on this termite mound. It was mid-morning and we were hoping that he would hunt, but he didn't really. He got a little bit active and walked around, and he did show a bit of interest in some lichwe close
mm-hmm.
by. But he didn't. He just settled into the shade of a bush. Throughout looking for this leopard with the cub and these lions, we had been hearing like alarm calls in the distance of some baboons, right? Baboons or monkeys? One of the two. I just remember we'd been hearing these alarm calls in the distance. And so we decided to drive to where those alarm calls. It was baboons.
Remember, because they were leaping
around.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
So it was these baboons alarm calling. And after we left the cheetah, we drove into that direction, and we actually found a lioness with a very young cub. Well, I say very young,
so
probably
cute.
Like 4 months old or so. And just a really sweet little, like, not lonely, like a solitary cub. And they were in the shade of a tree, but pretty quickly got up and walked across this little open area with these baboons going absolutely crazy, just, you know, 50 to 100 meters away. The cub drank some water, and the lioness also drank some water.
It
was such a nice little.
It was also so sweet because the lioness lies down to drink, and the cub walks a little bit further, and there's an elephant track, which, like, an elephant's footprint it's huge. So there's an elephant track that's filled with water, and the lion cub lies down and is drinking out of this puddle that's
oh,
an elephant
yeah.
track, and he is smaller than the elephant's footprint.
Was that what it was?
Yeah, it's so cute.
That's nice.
It was just really nice. And
I
he
didn't
drank,
actually notice that.
Yeah, he
yeah.
drank for a while, and then mom got up and he got back up, and they walked again across this open clearing.
Yeah.
It was also kind of a sweet story because Willie was explaining that that female, the mother with the one cub, she's actually part of a coalition of three, or not a coalition, she's part of a pride with two other females that also are in this area and also have cubs at the same time. But Willie was saying that those cubs are a little bit older. He thinks like 1 to 2 months older than her one. And so he thought that she'd separated off and kept her cub a little bit distant from those because it's younger and could get like a little bit more attention and maybe not get roughed around as much
yeah.
as it would with the
rough house.
I think four, is it four or six? I think the other females had four cubs between
yeah,
them.
Four, yeah.
But he'd said that he thinks that she's come back into the area to now reintroduce or to introduce her cub to the other fours and to link back up with those two females because they were very close together. We saw them the next day.
Yeah.
And so yeah, Willie, as the crow flies, Willie was very sure that she was now, her cub was big enough, and now she's going to bring them back together.
A grand old reunion.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so sweet. And it, like, they just were having this, like, pleasant afternoon. They'd had, or this morning, they'd had their water. They went back to their kill. The mum lied down.
Oh, yeah, there was a kill there as well. I forgot about that.
Yeah, they had
that.
A heart to beast. Wasn't it?
It was a lechwe as well.
A lechwe.
Yeah. And then the youngster actually started nursing.
Yeah.
Which was really, really touching.
It was just, like, all very peaceful. I was like, yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, like, this thing... would not be such a nice existence for you and your little one if you were with, you know, four other cubs.
The only thing that wasn't harmonious was that there was the just, baboons. Like, a family of baboons pointing and shouting, like, barking their
screaming.
Heads off. But anyway.
Yeah, it was really sweet, though. And the little one nursed for, I don't know, 20 minutes. And
yeah,
we just
good
sat
while.
There watching. And then he fell asleep on mom's tummy. It was just very sweet.
Yeah, again, this was just this was something new for us to see. We hadn't seen this with these guests on this trip, and it was just, you know, the sightings that we had were just so well rounded. There was just so many different, like, behaviors that we saw,
and
predator behaviors. Sorry,
we were the only vehicle.
Yeah,
sitting with them. I mean, we were probably with those lions for an hour.
Absolutely. We then drove back to camp, and Willie...
Wait, it must be said, just went back to camp for an amazing meal, because the food at Boomborough was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all.
I guess that does need to be said. Yeah, the food was really, really good. But on our way back to camp, I thought we wouldn't talk about it. I just wanted to mention it briefly, because a lot of guides spend a lot of time listening for alarm calls of animals, and those animals don't necessarily always have to be, like, baboons or... you know, lechwe or impala or something.
I feel like we must have at some point on this podcast ranked, like, the believability of different animals.
The credibility.
Yeah,
of,
the credibility. That's
yeah,
a much
we should
better
do that.
Word than believability. I don't think that's a word.
The credibility of an animal's
like a
alarm call.
Versus
like
an impala.
Like
versus
kudu,
a baboon.
Kudu and bushbuck mm-hmm. would be the top, or a vervet monkey. Definitely,
yeah.
Like, listen to a vervet monkey. It's not lying. But things like impala,
squirrels
especially. Anyway, we were almost on our way back in camp, and we had actually said we want to be back a little bit earlier because we'd had lots of long mornings and we'd seen so much that we wanted to, like we said at the start of the episode, just spend a bit.
Have a more leisurely brunch.
Yeah, have a bit of a more leisurely time. Anyway, Willie hears these Franklins, which are these, like, small grouse-like ground-dwelling birds.
The bush chickens.
Bush chickens, yeah, as I call them. Alarm calling or making a racket. But again, they are not always accurate.
The most reliable on the scale.
Yeah. They make a racket if they, like, get a fright because they've seen a beetle, I think.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was like, he said, no, this is too consistent. He drove into the
keeps
block.
Keeps going. Like, it's alarming, and it's just, it's keeps calling.
Yeah.
Keeps calling, not stopping.
And he drives into the block, and sure enough, there's two lionesses, which Sharp Eyes Hadley spotted here. Yeah. And we followed them for a little bit because they were quite active, and it seemed like they were trying to hunt, but...
They were definitely trying to hunt.
Yeah.
There was just nothing there.
They were just kind of... The way that they were walking, their formation, it wasn't like one walking directly behind the other. It was like they were spread out a little bit and they were walking
quietly.
What's the
and
best
gently.
Way to put this? They're like trying to zone an area or trying to cover as much ground.
Flank formation.
Yeah, cover as much ground as possible. It was then getting quite late, so we left them because they were also just taking their merry time in finding anything.
There was no, we couldn't see any prey items anywhere close by, and then they sat down and we were like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
We wish them well, but it's time for brunch.
We wish them well.
Mm.
Then all right.
That afternoon.
The afternoon drive. The afternoon drive was it was more of a boat.
Oh, it was so great.
I guess we wanted to talk about this because it was a little bit different, and in that we drove to the aluminum bottom boat. I know in this household you need to say aluminum.
Oh, country.
Yeah, country. we drove to this boat, and we took this boat out into the, like, it passed a place called Little Woomburra, which is a camp that's really...
It's a little sister camp.
Really great. It's a sister camp of Woomburra, but it's a little island camp that you have to access
so
by boat.
So amazing.
And we were doing some birding. We were essentially driving along...
Boating along
this channel which a hippo had created.
Yeah, so it's
which
very
dead straight.
And it's very narrow. It's like the size of the boat, which is maybe, you know, 5-6 feet wide.
Yeah.
Not even. So it's it's like this little clear road of water in an otherwise reeded area.
Yeah.
And you're just going down this path that this hippo's made, and you're kind of eventually twisting and turning. Yeah. And it was so much fun.
Yeah, it was great.
So much fun. And there was absolutely no wind that day. So the water was dead flat, looked like glass. The reflection from the sky was incredible. And there were quite a few clouds. So the reflection on the water was beautiful.
Mm.
We saw some good birds.
Good birds, definitely. Really nice views of a malachite kingfisher, which was like at eye level as well. So that's a nice thing. Like you're taking photos and videos of stuff and it's right like at eye level. White-backed ducks, which I think were a new one for you. Yeah,
yep.
Nice views of white-backed ducks. Lots of jacanas. What else did we see?
Pygmy geese.
We saw pygmy geese, yeah, absolutely. And yeah, we had a really great sighting of this bull elephant that was feeding on lily pads in the reeds. And the water was probably, you know, just up to its like its belly, right?
It was up to the base of its tail.
The base of its tail, yeah.
Because Willie very interestingly pointed out that it was holding its tail above the water, and it's only like there's only like 4 inches of air beneath its tail until the surface of the water, but it's holding its tail straight out, like bent to the side and straight out above the surface of the water. And Willie was like, yeah, you see how he's holding his tail up? It's because it's an easy croc food. I was like, what? It's like, yeah, they won't put their tails in while they're feeding like this because then a croc can grab it.
Yeah,
which was very funny. I'd never heard that before. It was very cool to see.
It was great, actually.
Yeah, nice little elephant sighting.
Very nice sighting.
Very peaceful walking
around. We'll hopefully be able to upload a video of that as well, because I think that's in itself quite a cool little sighting. All of them, hopefully. Just the last sighting that I wanted to talk about was the next morning when we went out again. And we saw lots and lots of nice stuff, obviously. But anyway, what we wanted to talk about...
You know, blah, 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 safari, yeah, blah, animals blah, blah. Everywhere.
Really good stuff, like bloody zoo. What we did see and what we did find, and I can't remember how we found them, but I feel like
Is this the lionesses?
This is the two lionesses.
What time are we on?
How did we find them?
Oh, man, what an amazing sighting. How did we find them? We didn't. Somebody else found them.
Somebody else found them.
Somebody else found the lionesses.
Yeah.
And then they went flat in the grass, and then they found the cubs.
Then
when we got there, the cubs were still in the tall grass.
But they disappeared into a bush.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really quite cool and interesting to see.
It was very cool to see.
These cubs sort of went and disappeared into this bush, not because there was a vehicle there, but because they wanted to encourage their mothers to go out and hunt.
So the females, there's two females, they're sound asleep on their sides, and the cubs are all next to them, and then all of a sudden, kind of one by one, the cubs get up.
It was without encouragement from the mothers, though.
The mothers are still sound asleep throughout this whole process. They get up, and each cub, one by one, there's four of them, goes into these, like a kind of clump of bushes, maybe, you know, what, 50, 100 feet away?
Yeah.
And they go thick into the middle, where we can't really see them anymore, and Willie was like, no, they want the moms to
go hungry.
Hunt. They know that they won't hunt while they're still out here. So like if the females obviously could have gotten up and kind of ushered them into the bushes, but they're of their own, you know, initiation saying, go.
Yeah.
We're hidden, go.
Yeah.
And sure enough, so Willie's like, you know, let's sit here for a second and give it a few minutes. I think that they will go hunt now that the cubs are away. I mean, I don't think it was even 15 minutes later.
No, it was really soon
Both females get up. We're kind of still peeking through the bushes. We can see like one of the cubs and half of one of the other ones.
Mm.
And Willie's watching. He's like, yeah, look, they're up.
Yeah. And they got up. And I love this bit.
Mm.
I love this part of the sighting because they were smelling around and they got the scent of something. And with their noses to the ground, they were following the scent trail of whatever,
like a dog,
of whatever it was. Like a dog. Yeah.
Well,
like
a warthog. Remember, they went up to...
They follow it
up to the burrow. They go up onto this termite mound. They stick their noses in this burrow. And then they keep following it.
Yeah.
And they keep their nose to the trail. And then they obviously have picked up the scent of these warthogs that came out of this burrow.
Yeah, exactly.
And off they follow.
And off they go. They then... So I think they might have lost the scent after a while.
Mm.
I think they must have seen some lechwe in one of the kind of water, in one of the floodplains on the other side of an island, because they kind of parted ways and they one lioness went in one direction, the other one in the other direction, clearly like trying to figure out the best approach to stalk these lechwe. And they separated and they couldn't find each other, and there was probably a 10 to 15 minute period where we had one amazing walk by of this one lioness. She came right past us, like, you know, I could have touched her, honestly, and not that that's a good idea, but I could have, and walked straight past the vehicle and then kind of looked around and then turned around as well and walked back, because she, it seemed like she'd lost her, I think it was her mother that she had lost, the other lioness. And they were then, they started calling to each other. You could hear them making these soft contact calls, but they couldn't really find each other. And then the younger of the two lionesses decided, well, stuff it, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back to the cubs.
I thought it was the older.
Well, maybe it was the older. I thought it was the younger one. But we'll never be able to agree
also,
on that.
Also, this mother and daughter, these adult females, we had seen the last time that we were here.
Oh, yeah,
in the area much further north. But so again, it was like, so, and then when we'd seen them, they'd recently had their cubs killed.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about on Days of Our Lions next episode. But it was great.
You can talk about that.
It was great to see them with cubs that were, you know, months old.
Yeah.
So one of them goes back.
Goes back to the little open area where we'd seen them, where we knew the cubs were hidden. And she's kind of on the other side of the clearing. So call it like 200 feet away from where the cubs are. And she made one very soft contact call. And I thought, that's very soft. I don't know if those cubs are going to hear that. But the cubs heard it. And they come bounding out of this bush. And this was such a nice sighting.
It was so damn cute.
Four little youngsters, maybe 5-6 months old or so, bounding across this clearing, going over, running over, thinking, oh, maybe mom's brought some food home. And, you know, really just...
So excited to see her.
Very excited to see her. Lots and lots of head rubbing, lots of, like, nuzzling up against her. And very interesting noises as well that was coming out of all of them.
Yeah, it was cool to see as well that they... I mean, obviously, lions, like, nestle their heads together as a greeting and as a, like, social bonding. But Willie had pointed out also, he's like, you see they're all checking her face.
Yeah.
They're checking to see if there's blood on her face, if they can smell anything, which they couldn't, which was a bummer. But had they made a kill... She would have been coming back to fetch them, and then she would take them to the kill so that they could come feed on it, because they're old enough that they're still nursing, but they're also feeding on meat.
Yeah.
So they had this amazing reunion and nestle and cuddle, and then she laid down, and some of them then actually did start nursing.
Yeah, they did, and then the four of them were kind of peeking around the corner because it seemed like they could see or hear the other lioness coming, and the other lioness also eventually came back, and it was like this lovely.
Mom!
Grand reunion. This had all kind of started mid-morning. It was pretty much, we'd followed these lionesses for easily an hour.
Yeah.
And the whole sighting was, I would say, at least 2 hours long. And, you know, we left them when they were still, like, just on the ground and starting to relax a little bit, and their activity level had just decreased a bit. But, I mean, what an amazing sighting.
Oh, so sweet. And when the second female came, we got to, like, experience that entire reunion all over
the energy
again.
Yeah,
they all run again towards her, and they're batting her face and all excited. She lies down, they flop on top of her.
Yeah,
it was really, really sweet.
Yeah, really, really sweet. I think that's enough for today's episode.
Yeah.
I think we've got a bit more to talk about when it comes to, we've got another sighting that we definitely want to talk about, two other really nice sightings on the next episode, and then maybe Hadley will touch a bit on Days of Our Lions. But I can't. I'd rather do like a 5,000 piece jigsaw puzzle. That seems easier to me than to explain the lion dynamics.
It's really not that bad.
Okay, maybe I need to pay more attention next time. But
I talked to Willie about it for a while.
Oh, so you did? Helps. Okay, good. Well, I hope you enjoyed the episode, and yeah, we'll see you again next time.